Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit of Hope, to all members, friends, and visitors, and to those of you at home listening online. I have a few helpers here today who are going to follow me. There are still two boxes out for suggestions of hymns. If you would like to have songs that you would like to sing, there's one by the piano and one by the door to the narthex. We have received many suggestions. They are being included in the worship service. The closet by the sound booth has signs posted saying, please do not block these electric panels. So please stop putting things on the right side. We are in danger of not passing safety inspection because of it. And now, Jackie.
Good morning, everybody. I am up here to ask for your help. This Saturday, we have our annual trunk or treat. It is from noon to 2 p.m. We are in desperate need of some trunks. So not only do we need some trunks, but we need kids. So if you know of any kid, any child, young, even a little bit older, we would love to have them. We're going to have a bounce house. We're going to have carnival games. We'll have the city of Mesa is we're going to have a police car and then potentially a fire truck. It's their lunch hour, so they may be here for a little bit. But so we want to have just a fun and exciting time. We also have Cup of Joey, which is a coffee shop. They're coming. They're going to bring their truck. They've got some treats for just, I think it's like $6 for like a drink and a little snack for the kids and or for you as well. So in order to make this a success like it has been in the past, we are helping, you know, asking for your help. So trunks and kids. So again, this Saturday from noon to 2, we appreciate you. Thanks.
Barb. Well, you saw the doors. It's an ongoing thing. So I am looking for two other quotes. Monday I'll get one, and Tuesday I'll get one. And then maybe we will be able to open, shut, and lock the doors so I'm not on a first-name basis with the alarm company. So anyway, we'll get you the results of all that. But on October 31st, we are going to get the parking lot paved. Woo! Yeah. So when you come to church after that, you will have a new parking lot with stripes.
Thank you, Barb. One reminder, shoeboxes are due no later than October 30th. And now, please rise for the singing of our first hymn.
Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endure forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin and come to God for healing. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings at war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Pray the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples of the earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today in our Hebrew reading, we learn that obedience can be learned through suffering. Using imagery from Scripture and Jewish worship practice, Jesus is presented as the great high priest who was obedient to God's saving plan. Through his suffering and death, he has become the source of eternal salvation. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as those of the people. One does not presume to take this honor, takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was, Moses' brother. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. And today we have the privilege of talking back and forth one of my very favorite Psalms, 91, which is called the Warrior's Psalm, because people on the battlefield pray that psalm and are delivered. It's amazing. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, for God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. You will tread upon the lion cub and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them, pressing on my name.
They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Beautiful. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Today's Gospel is Mark 10, verses 35 to 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit at one at your right hand and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom we recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. For whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So, today's Gospel asks and answers the question, how does one become great? Well, there are several people who have been called the Great One over the years. We have even gone so far as to call some outstanding athletes the GOAT, an acronym for Greatest of All Time. So what does it mean to be great in God's eyes? Jesus is not usually called the Great One or the GOAT. But there can be no doubt that no single person in history has altered the course of history more than Jesus. Even non-Christians would agree to that. Jesus was great by almost any standard. And in this gospel reading, he does something that's a little bit radical. He redefines greatness for all of us. He tells us that the path to true greatness lies in service. He not only teaches us this new path to greatness, he lives it. And we see that in the 45th verse, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And that's the verse that I'm focusing on today. So when James and John asked Jesus to sit at his right hand and his left when he comes into his glory, Jesus uses their request as a teaching moment. They want to be great in heaven,
but they don't understand what it means. They think they know the path to greatness, but Jesus offers them a path that is very different from what they think. Jesus doesn't teach just James and John, but calls all of his disciples and us to a new path of greatness, and he lives it. And he tells them, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. In serving others, Jesus tells us the path that is the path to true greatness. And Jesus offers his own life as a model of becoming great by serving. The disciples watched in amazement as Jesus redefined leadership by taking a towel and washing their dirty feet. When we look at Jesus' life, we don't see worldly greatness, but humility. He was born in a small town of Bethlehem with a bed made of hay and animals all around because his family couldn't afford to find a room. He grew up in the small town of Nazareth, where even one of the future disciples says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus was trained to be a carpenter, not a religious leader. He spent the first 30 years of his life unnoticed by anyone. Even when he began his public ministry, he went around the countryside of Israel, not seeking greatness, but serving and teaching and preaching. After 3 years, he went to Jerusalem, not as a great king, but to his own death. He allowed himself to be arrested, tortured, and humiliated on the cross. He died a shameful death. Jesus' life was always great in the eyes of his heavenly Father, but not in the world. The world has a different idea of what it means to be great. Even Jesus' own disciples had ideas of how Jesus would be great. Remember, they thought he was going to ride into Jerusalem and be the king of all, right? Jesus came not to serve, but to be served. And he invites us to do the same, to serve others, to spend our lives looking for opportunities to give others what Jesus has given to us. And that's not what we see when we look around our world today. Frequently, the popular choice is to be served. We sometimes even see signs that said, "How was our service? Did we serve you well?" Well, in the eyes of the world, the path to greatness clearly lies in being served in more and more ways. And some people think they have it made when they spend their lives being served by others. Even for people who achieve that goal, they are often left with emptiness in their lives. Being served by others may make us comfortable, but it doesn't appear to make us happy. Jesus is our example of servant leader. And he does that in three ways. The first way is he stoops and labors during his time on earth. And he came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And secondly, he completes his service through love. For though the need is great, Jesus' love is greater. And finally, he not only serves a few, but he also gives his life for many. Jesus asks the same of us, that we not work for our own gain or position, but that we work with the benefit of others in mind. In turn, Jesus promises that we will be great, not through our own authority or works, but through his. Now, there are some people through history that have demonstrated how to be a servant leader, and I've picked out just a couple to show you how that looks in our lives. And the first servant leader I found was during the American Revolution. A man in civilian clothes was riding past a group of soldiers repairing a defensive barrier. Their leader was shouting instructions but made no attempt to help them. Asked why by the rider, he retorted, "I'm a corporal." Well, the rider said, "Sir, I'm so sorry." And he dismounted from his steed and began to help the exhausted soldiers. When the job was done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander-in-chief and ask him to contact me, and I will come help you again." With that, General George Washington, the future president of the United States, got back on his horse and rode away. Our country's first president found himself in a situation that invited him to demonstrate servant leadership. And the second servant leader that I'm going to share with you was a well-known Christian woman who recognized that the truth Jesus calls us to be servants as he was. This woman served the poorest of the poor of Calcutta, India, truly living as a servant to all. Mother Teresa's work inspired others to live as she lived. And Mother Teresa wrote a small book called The Simple Path. And on her business card, she had written this simple path that she shared with others. And that simple path is, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. And the last servant leader I'm going to tell you about is another Christian woman who answered God's call to serve on a church council. She has been quietly serving God and her congregation since answering that call, and she oversees many aspects of congregational life. She makes sure that there are worship leaders, that there are pastors to officiate over communion, and is encouraging members to step forward as servants. This is a woman all of you know personally, and that woman is Rosemary Brandt, your council president. There are many servants I could list, and there are several here at Spirit of Hope, and I'm even looking at some of you. So whatever form our leadership takes, let this be characteristic of it, that we follow the example Jesus offers us of a leadership that is servant leadership. Jesus claims the role of servant by word and deed. You and I face opportunities to be servant leaders. It may be a casual encounter like Washington riding by those soldiers, or more intentional like Mother Teresa and Rosemary. Servant leadership happens when we place others before self and acts on that basis and thereby changes the world for good. And I have a servant leadership opportunity for you. Sign up to help serve pancakes in December at Grace Lutheran. Feel the blessing and joy of blessing those being blessed. Normally, servanthood is placed at the bottom rung of the ladder of success, with authority at the top. But Jesus was kind of a rebel, and he flips that ladder right side up. In imitating him, servants neither lose their identities nor become doormats. Instead, they become great. Followers will be humbly ready to serve in every way. Another servant leader I found was Albert Schweitzer. And he wrote, "Every person I know who has been truly happy has learned how to serve others." Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Some of the greatest people in this world have seen, have little more than a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. They found a way to serve others and devoted their lives to serving. And we can too. Following the example of Jesus, we can become great by serving others. By looking for opportunity to give others what Jesus first gave us, remember, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus invites us to do the same, to be servant leaders. To God be the glory.